We traveled our way this congregational year through all the transformational monthly themes that embrace the values proposed in the revised Article 2 of the UUA bylaws. We began in September with what is essential to Unitarian Universalists, which is welcoming. We moved then to heritage to take a look at our history. And then we moved to generosity, mystery, liberating love, justice and equity, transformation. April was interdependence, and we arrive here on this first Sunday in May at pluralism. How do we coexist among our differences? A person died and went to heaven. St. Peter met them at the pearly gates for a tour, down one hall and then another. And for the purposes of this story today, I've broadened it beyond Christian denominations. But St. Peter is saying, down this hall are the Catholics, and down this hall are the Methodists, and here are the Jains, and here are the Buddhists. And then St. Peter gets really quiet. And he holds his finger to his lips and he says, we have to be really quiet as we pass this next hall, because those are the Baptists and they think they're the only ones here. I tell that as a former Baptist, as told to me by my friend, a Presbyterian. But where would we find ourselves in that old joke? I hope it's safe to say that we can't tell that joke about Unitarian Universalist. Though it may also be safe to say that our idea of heaven may be that this life we are living is it, and this earth that we live with is our heaven. And there's a reason then why that joke doesn't really work for you to use. The new wording for pluralism for Article 2 reads as follows. Pluralism, we celebrate that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences. We embrace our differences and our commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. In this faith, we don't just tolerate pluralism. We don't just tolerate anything. We don't just tolerate difference. We celebrate it. And the celebration of it leads to a willingness to be transformed by it. UU Luminary, the Reverend Marjorie Bowen Sweetly, of blessed memory, asks us, why should we intentionally work for diversity? And then she answers, the responses to this question vary widely. Of course, hard demographics suggest much. But for me, beyond any demographic or sociological justification, there is a theological imperative. Affirming the inherent worth and dignity of every human being, for me, means working to create places of worship where all who subscribe to a liberal approach to religion can not only feel welcome, but enter into worship settings that reflect the diverse cultural realities of we the people. Congregations, she continues, congregations that reflect the pluralism of our society are one step in beginning to transcend the social boundaries that divide us from each other and from all that is, which some call God. The task ahead is an arduous one. Indeed, diversity is one of the most challenging tasks we will ever undertake as a religious movement. What we are dealing with is not simply racial and ethnic diversity, but a paradigm shift that is rooted in a commitment to growth in a pluralistic community, as well as readiness for and acceptance of cultural change within our congregations. As part of a program that we offer here at UUCL called Starting Point, it's a program that's a refresher for those who have been around a while and an orientation for those who may be newcomers. As part of that, one of the exercises that we do ask individuals to choose one side or the other, to place themselves somewhere on a continuum. It's called a belief spectrum exercise. For example, we ask folks to choose with their bodies. They actually walk across the floor if they are able. We ask them to choose between, I am spiritual, I am religious. I have a spiritual practice, or I don't really know what that means. Religion starts for me in the mind, or religion starts for me in my experience. I'm an atheist, I'm a theist, I'm an agnostic. The future seems hopeful, the future seems scary. Human beings are inherently good. Human beings are deeply flawed. We go on to ask about Jesus, the concept of grace, if prayer means something to them, or if meditation does, if they have a concept of the soul, if they've experienced a miracle. There are at least 10 more of those types of questions that we ask. And there you are, your body is there moving, and your mind is deciding how much you want to risk, how honest you can be with these people that you may have just met, and how vulnerable are you willing to be. It's intimate, and it can feel risky, and it requires trust. So imagine yourselves doing that for a moment. We've done similar things here before. We're not going to do it right now, but just for right now, here in this sanctuary, imagine that I'm asking you to do something like that, moving one side from one side to the other, end of the room to the other. And then you're witnessing others declare themselves, what they believe, how they navigate this thing called life, where they find meaning. And you'll find that you share commonalities with some, and also differences with those same people. And in that moment, you are received, and they are received with all of their beliefs, with all of our beliefs in that room, which may change over time. But in that moment, it's allowed to be as it is, not just tolerated, but celebrated, accepted, held in the common bowl of love, compassion, and care, held in love, curiosity, and respect. Our differences and our commonalities are embraced. Someone I knew in San Diego was a workout fiend. He worked out every day. I asked him once years ago, how long did he work out? I was thinking the answer, would be an hour, 2 hours, an hour and a half. But he said, until I find God. Clearly, I should have fallen in love with exercise at that point and not him. But yeah, right? It's still true. What I imagine he meant, though, was in that mystical way of his, was until I find the divine within me. In the Hebrew Bible, there's a story of people who sought God. They decided to build a tower. The Tower of Babel, they would come together and decide on a plan. I'm paraphrasing. They began to build it higher and higher and higher to heaven. But God was not having it. And so God made it so the people spoke different languages and they couldn't understand each other. And the building of the tower was abandoned. I have to tell you, that always kind of bothered me. That's just an aside. We'll do another sermon on that someday. But in the Christian Bible, in the New Testament, there's sort of an opposite story to that. The story of Pentecost, which Christians will celebrate this year in 2 weeks, May 19th, where the Holy Spirit moves among the people, and even though the people speak different languages, they were able to understand each other. I think about that story of God's hat and what we see from our perspective, how division is sown these days, not really by people, but by bots from other countries via electronic means. That's, I believe, where a lot of the division is happening and being perpetuated. We're told we're divided and we believe it. We're told we're polarized and we believe it. There are some that I see on TV that are certainly far from where I am. Unitarian Universalists, though, aspire to appreciate and navigate a pluralistic community, to coexist not simply within racial and ethnic diversity, but to engage a paradigm shift that is rooted in a commitment to growth in a pluralistic community, as well as readiness for and acceptance of cultural change within our congregations and within ourselves. We do it here and we change in here and we take it out there and we navigate it out there and we learn new things and we bring it back here. We share a common language of love at the center of this faith. Fierce love, a love centered in drawing a wider circle, expanding love as more than a feeling, but love as a choice. Someone said to me the other day that they think that the pattern of Unitarian Universalists is an expansion to greater inclusion, and then we get really, the anxiety kicks in, and we get all worried about who we are. And so then we contract again, and go, okay, now that we've done that, who are we though? And we feel like we're about to lose something. And then we come back and we try to define who we are. And then we expand some more and the anxiety kicks in and we question who we are. And then we expand again toward greater inclusion. And that this is a natural process of a liberal and a liberating faith. Action, reflection, action. That's what we do. Gareth Gwynne writes, once we reckon with the paradox of how the perceived other is both distinct and a direct reflection of us, then we see ourselves in that mirror. We see everyone and everything as reflecting an aspect of ourself that we get to reclaim. Those we might have judged become guideposts for our own liberation. Our triggers become welcome signs that we have rejected something inside us. The idea that you are either with us or against us is a limiting lens that perpetuates humanity's suffering. The recognition that you are us, that everyone is us, allows our self-love to humanize others into belonging. And here is the caution. Sometimes acceptance of many spiritual paths, of many religions, leads us to think that some of those customs and rituals and practices then belong to us. This is especially a caution to those of us who think of ourselves as white. While we may think that the whole world is ours, like a buffet, we get to choose. We have these symbols lining the arc of this chancel. They are above my head every time I'm in this pulpit, and you see them from your seat. My guess is that most of us could identify some, and maybe most of us could identify most, but not that many of us could identify all of them. I like them. I like that they're there. And a paradigm shift requires us to be changed by the fact that these are there, to deepen our understanding of what those symbols and that particular faith or religion represents. What do those symbols mean for us here? Who do they call us to be? How do they call us to act? Our faith, this Unitarian Universalist faith, asks us for a commitment to growth in a pluralistic community. And we've symbolized that here. And that means that we don't appropriate other cultures, other religious practices, as a UU congregation. It does mean that we engage other ideas in a spirit of appreciation, holy curiosity, education, and love. And it means that should one of those paths speak to us personally and we decide to explore it, we approach it as individuals with love, curiosity, and respect. Here is what I ask us to keep in mind. We do not do this alone as individuals. As the saying goes, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We're called to go far and to go deeper and wider, to expand. Alone, we get weary really quickly. We get fearful and we're likely to give it up. The path may be too deeply hidden to travel without company, writes Parker Palmer. Discernment can only happen in dialogue. We need the community to find the courage to venture forth. We get to talk about it. We struggle together. We need community to welcome back the exiled parts of ourselves. And here's the other cautionary tale about pluralism. Not to be afraid of it, but just to be aware. Religions, faith, cultures, frameworks, countries have more complexity than we can possibly hold. It's too easy for us to want to flatten it out, to make it more manageable and more comfortable for us, to simplify it, to make it like us. And here's the caution. Making everything one way is fascism. The thinking with one mind, no other ideas, no other anything except those who are cast out for their differences. Keeping things simple helps us feel safer. Complexity is harder to hold both socially and emotionally, and that is our work. Our place at the table is to do our work, but it's also to hold, as Unitarian Universalists, is to hold the complexity of all that is. Pluralism, to coexist, being able to hold that complexity, to honor and celebrate the diversity, the differences as well as the commonalities, and be transformed by it. That's what we are called to do. Oh, what a gift that is, to offer ourselves, each other, and the world. May we celebrate it and let ourselves be healed and transformed by it. May we be about it. Blessed be, and amen.